Timmy, you are big on the reminder, so I'm going to remind you as well, all about nut care. I've got the wood. You've got the bear butts, I believe. Did you get that sent here? No, you don't have the bear butts, just the nut care. Danny's got the – what's the jocks called?
Comfy nuts.
Comfy nuts. We're all over it. We've said it 800 times, but we keep forgetting. They are huge. They are awesome in this time of year, especially as it's getting warmer, although it is absolutely pissing down rain as I speak right now. But here at Any Given Sunday, we are proudly supported by Nutcare, Australia's fastest growing grooming brand. Proudly brand Nutcare is taking down under grooming to the modern day man. Recently voted number one by the Men's Health magazine with Bare Nuts Pubic Hair Removal Cream, as you've got there. Nutcare is revolutionising male grooming as proud sponsors, as all of our sponsors are. Any Given Sunday is the code. Put it in at checkout. You'll receive 10%. Nutcare truly is essential grooming for men.
Brown 45. You are listening to Any Given Sunday Australia.
Yes, hello and welcome to Any Given Sunday Australia podcast. The number one podcast in at least three households, one studio, Gridiron Australia head office, NFL Australia head office. Just keep that in mind. NFL flag head office. We're getting pretty big there too. Over in Winnipeg for our boy Jam, who unfortunately went down in the Grey Cup final, but we'll get a hold of him and have a speak to him about that. I'm sure that was a huge, huge game. Joining us, as always, down in his basement, wherever that may be, I hope you enjoyed. We decided to have a festive weekend off. I hope you enjoyed it, mate. As Tim Cardy, AGSAU, TC24. How are you, mate?
Hello, brother. Yeah, I made the most of the time off. Had a very full weekend. It's been good, but yeah, plenty of football, and the sun's shining down here, just so you know.
It's not bloody. You're talking shit there. It's definitely not.
Mate, I'm going to go out for a sunbake after this.
It's 7:30 at night. You're right, it is.
It's bright. It's light until 9 o'clock.
We are 2 days or 3 days away from summer, so you're probably fair.
Amen.
It just shows how far away we are, because it is genuinely coming down hard here. So,
unlucky.
It was a pretty big weekend of football. Started, like, we didn't get to actually speak about it because we had the Thanksgiving off, but the Thanksgiving Friday was huge, huge. Three huge games. I was obviously very, very happy, which we'll talk about. But two other games that probably went the way we expected. But there's a lot of fans getting very eager for the playoff season to start getting underway.
Well, like, the pitch is becoming a bit clearer. And I actually heard it a little bit this weekend, sort of for the first time, because I've been paying so much close attention. But it's like football matters now. After Thanksgiving, football matters. So the playoff pitch is getting a little bit clearer. The teams that definitely can't make it, it's a bit clearer. And the guys in the hunt or in the hunt or on the bubble. I can't remember what they call it.
I like the bubble.
I heard a little bit. So those teams are becoming a bit clearer too. So you can sort of map out a bit of a pathway, and like a lot of the games that are going to mean quite a bit as the season comes to a close.
Well, I've definitely, as a pack of supporters who are surprisingly sitting extremely high. I've already gone through our next 6-7 games and gone, do you know what? I reckon we can win that one, even if we drop that one. So even the teams around us, I've started to map them out as well, which, like you said, it means it's getting to the exciting time of the season, as soon as we get into December especially.
Yeah, and that's what can be important too, relying on other results a little bit, especially for those teams that are probably just hanging on by a thread, like your boys. So, yeah, pretty important.
Big thread, though.
More threads than what my boys have got, so
yeah.
I can't be upset.
Poor bastards. All right, we're going to get straight into it. We were hoping to have a third guest, but you never know. You still might show up. We're not sure what the Wi-Fi is like over in the Scandinavian countries. I thought it was pretty good, but...
Well, I'm actually not 100% sure where he is at the moment either.
Yeah, he was in our house last week, which we...
He's in that little block.
Yeah. So hopefully he shows up. If not, we'll try and catch him for the next slate of games or the next, next week.
The next episode, next time we see
him. Next episode, yeah, that's what I was trying to say. I was trying to spread out. All right, we've got I will play it because you abused me last week when I didn't play it. We're going to start off.
You got a sting. You got a sting. Okay.
Thank you for calling Dr. Danny's office.
Dr. Danny is out, but we do have Nurse Cardi. So there was only really one big injury.
And Orderly McMillan, don't count yourself out.
Orderly McMillan, yeah, right. Yeah. I am good.
I feel like that's like maybe down in the pecking chain from a nurse. You've got your doctor, your nurse, your orderly. I think that's all right.
But I do make sure that everyone gets here on time where they need to be and all the information.
That's fine. It's a very important job.
It is. I tell myself every night when I go to bed.
Amen.
So there was only really one injury news that I was that caught my eye this week, and it came out of the Cleveland Browns, mate. What do you got for us?
Yeah, it's the only one worth talking about. But yeah, big Myles Garrett looked like he'd done a bit of a nasty shoulder injury. Even he said heard a bit of a pop when he did it, and he went down to the locker room, came back out in a sling. I think he said he might have got back out on the ground.
Yeah, definitely played through it.
Played through it.
He taped it up.
Yeah, so he's a beast. But then Stefanski came out and said they'd had scans on Monday and cleared him of all any major or any structural damage. So he's a chance to play this week, surprisingly. So it was looking a bit doom and gloom, like maybe they might miss him for the rest of the year. But thankfully, all of a sudden he's a chance to play this week, which is huge.
Yeah,
as we've alluded to in a couple of previous eps, like since losing Deshaun, like they're going to be relying on their defense quite a lot, and he's such a huge part of it. So awesome news that that he's potentially going to be playing this week.
I had them on my red zone on Danzen, so I didn't see the injury at the time, but I did go back and watch it. It was very innocuous, where he just kind of stuck his arm out for a tackle, and then, like you said, he obviously heard something. Or
I mean, there's funny ones sometimes. Like if you just get caught on a funny angle, and it just pushes in a weird way. So I think you might have said they were worried about dislocation, or
I did hear dislocation. Yeah,
yeah. Like, and you know, everyone, all the commentators turn into bloody specialist doctors as soon as injuries happen, but you don't know until they get the scans afterwards. But good to hear that he's been cleared.
And like you said, him himself has said, "I've played through this kind of stuff before," so he's a genuine beast of the game.
He's a beast.
Yeah, so we do hope that he's all right and can get out there, because he is huge for them going forward. And realistically, the game's better off with him out there.
Oh, of course, and they need him just where they're sitting. And like we said, in terms of that playoff picture in the AFC North, it's pretty tight with the Ravens and the Steelers, those sort of top three there. So they definitely need him going forward. So that's awesome news for the Browns fans.
Absolutely. Moving on to the news, which is brought to us by our good friends, C2C Rare Threads. If you go onto their website like I am right now, you go down, have a look. It actually tells us, I said it last week, they've gone on to America to get married. They're away for a couple of weeks, but they are still working while they're over there, which is huge.
No days off. They're making connections, getting more merch and stuff. So, yeah, it's awesome. So good on them. Enjoy the wedding too.
Absolutely. In Vegas, by what I'm reading right now.
So good. So
if you're going to do it, go hard in Vegas. But make sure you get on their website, C2C Rare Threads. Any given Sunday is the code for 10% off. Perfect with this Black Friday, Cyber Monday kind of stuff going on. That's even more.
Like we always say, they've got rolling stock too. So always, like, jump on and check it regularly, because they've got new stuff coming in all the time. You don't want to miss out on the good merch they get coming in all the time.
Speaking of rolling, heads have been rolling. So we've had Matt Canada's gone as the OC, but we've now gone Frankie Reich down at the Panthers. He's back-to-back seasons, which I believe is the first time ever that a coach has gone back-to-back seasons and been cut halfway through a season. So they weren't happy.
The first time since the merge in the 70s.
That's long enough for me.
And still, it's, you know, ouch, it hurts.
Yeah, and he's come out and said that it hurt, which, you know, that's fair enough. It was especially the team that he started with as a QB as well back in the day. So 11 games in, 1-10. But they've not only cut him. Was it Josh McGowan, the quarterback coach? And I think the offensive coordinator also got done.
And I'm hearing that probably the GM is on the chopping block too. Tepper, he likes to slash that sword. And when he does, it's like wholesale changes. And he's pretty impatient is his sort of rep. So if he's not seeing results quickly, he'll swing the sword, he'll wield the axe sort of thing. And poor old Frankie, he's top six earliest firings in terms of coaching tenure, like first year coaching tenure at clubs as well, I think, as well. We're like 11 games in. And as you said, I think you had a quick look at his contract before. It was a 4-year, $25 million deal. So that just gets lumped onto the $800 million lump sum of fired coaches that we talk about a little bit.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit more, but they owe him 25.
Right, okay. So, yeah, maybe what's left. But it is a bit not funny or interesting, but kind of sliding doors. Like you're going to do it. You compare what CJ Stroud's doing at Houston with D'Amico Ryans, also first-year coach, rookie quarterback taken after Bryce Young in the draft. And like a lot of people, even like we were doing it too, we were sort of looking at the coaches they'd assembled around Bryce Young and who they got in around him and stuff. And it was like everyone was kind of touting it as, yeah, they're putting in the right pieces around Bryce to give him every chance. And yeah, it's come crumbling down pretty quickly, unfortunately. You got to assume Bryce is probably going to stay on.
They put too much and given up too much for him.
Because they gave up so much. So their number one pick is going to Chicago. Well, they're currently going to get the number one pick in the draft, just their record. That's going to Chicago. So I'm not sure what when their first pick in the draft will be.
Way down.
Yeah. So
a long way away.
Yeah. Bryce is going to be their boy for a little bit. They just need to get the pieces around him, like in terms of O-line and things like that, and get him some protection. Give him a chance to flourish.
Yeah, and like you said, that over at Houston, they have given him that chance. They've given CJ Stroud not license, but they've let him throw the ball. You know, he's up there with yards passing. He's up there with touchdowns. He's looking after the ball. He's what, second or third lowest in interceptions. Like, they're putting the pieces around him for him to flood. Like, Tank Dell is having an absolute year. They've got to do that. And we thought they were, but it obviously just hasn't quite worked.
Yeah, and it just feels like Houston are empowering him and like playing to his strengths a lot more. And for whatever reason, Carolina haven't been able to do that. You know, and obviously they don't have a great roster. They were going to be pretty high in the last year's draft anyway. But yeah, I think for Frank, he has said he doesn't feel like he's coaching. He's finished coaching, but his NFL journey's over. So obviously looking at maybe going back to college or
where he can get
hopefully it's not a drop straight back to high school, but you got to think probably into the college system for a bit.
Yeah, maybe a D2 side or something like that, and then working your way back up.
But I think he finishes with overall from his time at the Colts with a 41-43-1 record, I think, from memory. So, like, you know, not the worst ever, but just wasn't getting it done for Tepper, who I think he's the second richest owner in the NFL. So, again, paying out, you know, the leftover of a coach and a GM on all these coaches' contracts, and that, he doesn't really care that much. He just wants to see results. And if he's not seeing results, he's going to see you later. Here's the door.
Do you like the let's cut and dry and move on, or do you think they should have put in a bit more time?
I don't love it. I reckon I've said a few times that, and I think I said it about Houston because we weren't sure how they were going to at the start of the year. Like, give them time. And, like, obviously they've done better. They've exceeded expectations. But
yeah,
it's hard because the business is based on success and results, and you want to see success and results. But at the same time, it's going to be harder to achieve success and have results if you've just got a constant turnstile of people in the coaching role and GM, and you're just constantly in that rebuild and people trying to be either build their team or put their stamp on it and things like that. It just feels like it puts you back to square one a fair bit.
Yep.
So I don't love it. Granted, their record is 1-10, so something had to happen. But I don't love the constant changing and restructuring. Like, you got to find a bit of a happy medium and get some sort of continuity there, I reckon.
Yeah, fair. It's the same with, you can look at the Colts having, was it 9 QBs in 9 years? It's just no stability.
It's not. It's not conducive to success. And look, they haven't had the results. They haven't had success since Peyton left. Well, since Andrew Luck retired. But, yeah, so, no, you need that continuity.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. I think this kind of – we have to go into it because it runs straight into – or straight out of that.
It's time for questions without notice.
Come up a little bit in the pecking order.
We're segueing beautifully today. We didn't even plan this.
No, but It has come up a little bit in the pecking order. You obviously don't know what the question is, but I do. We had it set for Danny as well, so it'll be interesting to see what he takes maybe next week. But I got a message during the week, or the Instagram got a message during the week saying that back in football club days, two of the boys who are big fans of ours had an under 16 coach, I believe. Could have been ruck coach or forwards coach, and they absolutely loved him. And your name popped up, mate. So I'm just wondering, with these coaches on the merry-go-round, who do you think's in the hot seat for you to possibly jump in and take over?
No, I did see that message. I wasn't the ruck coach. I was the head coach, mate. So.
You're the head coach. Did you win a flag?
I think they were talking about some sort of ruck rotation maybe. So I'm not sure what we had cooked up there. But no, it was myself and another guy we were coaching. But anyway, back to the question. Who am I taking over from?
Yeah, who's the next hot seat coach, you think?
Right. Obviously, there's a few teams that are struggling. I think, and it's probably underperforming teams too are probably going to stand out a little bit more. Yeah. So, like,
being the fact that you've said, you know, you're going to give teams that need the time, you're going to give them the time. So there's probably going to teams that are struggling that you're going to say, do you know what? They need that time. It's fair. So it'll be interesting to see who you've got.
Well, and I'll probably contradict myself a little bit too with what I'm going to say, but just what I'm hearing and probably what I'm feeling, looking at the current standings and things like that. Noise around, is it Brandon Staley? Brandon?
Yep. Brandon Staley.
Yeah. Coach of the Chargers. I just feel like they're more underperforming.
Yeah.
And you hear a lot of noise around, like, Herbert being wasted, essentially. And even just, like, last week, him getting a bit snappy in the press conference about who's calling defensive plays and things like that. After a couple of close losses there for the Chargers. So I feel like he's probably in the hot seat a bit. It's not much of a surprise we've talked about, but like Bill Belichick, he'll be in the conversation for probably coaches potentially getting moved on at the end of the year, you got to think.
That's a coach GM double.
Yeah, well, yeah, you wonder if...
Do you think he would stay on as GM if he was not?
That's what was just going through my head. Would he stay on and just GM, not coach, or like, do you think he's still got a bit of juice left? He's probably still got the juice to coach somewhere.
Oh, definitely, but it's got to be in the right situation. You always hear about the Belichick and the Patriot way. It's got to be in the right situation for that.
Millsy just said your fantasy team needs a new head coach.
Yeah, it does. I actually got a W this. My fantasy is really lackluster at the moment. Pretty good. But I actually got a win.
I don't want to get into it too much, but Josh Dobbs absolutely cost me today these interceptions. It came down to we were on the same points, but both had one player to play each. I had quarterback, he had a running back, I think, and I ended up losing. Anyway.
Swings and roundabouts. That happened to me versus you last week. You beat me by 0.6, and I left a 20 on the bench.
A couple of other coaches that come to mind, probably Ron Rivera and Vrabel at the Titans. So Ron Rivera at the Commanders and Vrabel at the Titans. Probably two others in the hot seat. I saw Adam Schefter talking on the Pat McAfee show. He feeling like there's going to be this year, so including McDaniels and Reich that have already been fired, he feeling there's going to be 10 head coaching changes this year. Yeah.
What, 10?
Yeah. Because he said, looking at it the past however long, you know, the average is 6 or 7 or whatever. And I think last year there was 5. So he's just going off the averages. He thinks there's going to be a lot of movement. So
I don't know about 10. I reckon that's a bit steep.
I feel like that's a lot, but we've had 2 already.
Yeah.
And there's definitely other teams that are still struggling. So I don't know. Yeah, you could definitely.
Yeah. I definitely agree with the Brandon Staley. I think that he's in the hottest seat.
Feels like he's in. If you imagine the big pot of soup, the boiling water, he's in the water already. Yeah. And the other coaches are just off to the side on the breadboard. He's in there just flailing. So
paddling away. He's got no lifeboat, no nothing.
Yeah.
Where I feel like Bill, who he has a lot of tickets, he's got a lot of money in the bank. He's got a lot behind him to say, you know what, I can turn this around or whatever the case may be. Where Staley, yeah, he come in hot, happy to take on fourth downs in his own 20, like things like that. And I reckon it's coming back to bite him in the ass because he just hasn't had those wins. he got to that, I don't know if you remember, a couple of seasons ago, they didn't go through. They were meant, they could have taken a knee and both the Raiders and the Chargers go through to the playoffs, but he took it on. I reckon they lost and the Raiders went through.
I think I remember it hearing. Yeah.
And, you know, otherwise they're just not reaching.
Well, I don't think Herbert had a playoff win, has he?
Nah. Well, they played last year and they lost because they were 27 up and got beaten.
Jags got rolled. Yeah, that's right. So they definitely feel like they've underperformed. And I don't think we contradicted ourselves too much. Like,
no, I think you've done pretty well.
Yeah. There's guys
that Staley's had
time.
At least 3 years.
Yeah.
That's time. That is heaps of time.
Yeah.
So, yeah. All right. Good, mate. Good. All right. Let's get on to the results from this week. And we have to go all the way back to my boys starting us on the Friday. We are going to talk about that game, so we'll move past it. But the Cowboys, the two games I said were probably pretty predictable. Cowboys 45-10 over those Ron Rivera-led Commanders. 49ers 31-13. A little bit of a surprise over the Seahawks. Again, stop me if anything jumps out of your cuts. Dolphins 34-13 over the Jets. Steelers 16-10 over Maxi's Bagels. Jags 24-21 over the Texans. That was a good game. Finished with a 58-yard field goal attempt that hit the crossbar.
Boinked off the crossbar.
Yeah, so the Texans are riding up to their eyeballs.
Yeah.
Colts 27-20 over the Bucks. Saints 24-15 over the, behind the Falcons. Falcons getting the W. Giants 10-7 over the Patriots.
Mm.
This is the second game in a row the Patriots have lost, keeping a team to 10 or less. And I think it's the first time in a long time that's happened to any team.
It'd have to be. The defense is doing what they can, but geez.
I reckon Bill's doing what he can there too. This is all about the offense. Titans 17-10.
He's in DC too, isn't he?
Yeah. 17-10. I think he's a play caller, yeah. Over the Panthers. Rams 37-14. A little bit of a surprise over the Cards. Browns, Broncos, we will talk about. Your Raiders went down 17-31 to the Chiefs.
They came out hot. They were looking good, the boys, and then the Chiefs just did Chief things.
Yes, and got the job done. Bills, Eagles, we are going to talk about. Ravens, Chargers. Ravens 20 over the Chargers 10, which is why we're saying that Staley's in the hot seat. And an absolute barnstorming game that I know you watched today, 12-10, the Bears over the Vikings. What's your quick comment? Two lines go.
Tough to watch. And
first win since 1993 that the Bears have had without scoring a touchdown.
That's right. You did say that. It was, and it's just, there wasn't much to say about it. It was a painful game. I was just wanting it to be over, like.
Do something. Do something.
Yeah, literally. Yeah.
When the first touchdown comes in the fourth quarter, you're going, Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
It's, there was a lot of fumbling today too, which I think the weather was pretty good. So seems to be a bit of a theme lately.
I don't think the weather was an issue, but yeah, lots of fumbles today. Interceptions galore for Dobbsy as well.
He's just trying to rid that first few games and got through what he needed to, but now a little bit of pressure and it's not quite working for him, I don't think. But the biggest thing to come out of it was for my Green Bay Packers, because that keeps us right in the hunt. We're sitting at number 8 in the NFC, which is, I won't lie, I'm pretty surprised. And we got the job done against a very favourite, I think it was 7.5 or 6.5 over the Detroit Lions. We got the job done 29-22 in Detroit at Ford Field, or Ford Stadium, whatever the bloody hell it is. Who cares? Jordan Love, 22 of 32 for 268, 3 touchdowns. We weren't prolific on the ground, but we did what we needed to. Dylan went for 43. Love went for 39 himself. We had a couple of the wide receivers. Reed jump in. He had 16. Patrick Taylor got a good run too. He had 11. So just enough. And the boys, we started with a 53. First play of the game, a 53-yard catch to Watson down the middle. And once you saw that, you thought, oh, this could be a big day for us. The Lions, Goff did end up throwing 29 to 44 for 332, 2 touchdowns. But I reckon he got a lot of that in junk time. They were kind of, it was one of those games, we won 29-22, which is comfortable, but we were kind of more comfortable than that. if that makes sense. We're kind of that two touchdown lead most of the way.
The score line has flattered Detroit.
Well, they scored last and scored the two.
You guys were in control of the game.
We did. And I think a lot of it went for three fumbles and three losses. One of them in for a touchdown from Jared Goff, which goes a long way to helping us.
Yeah, and like just looking at the defense, comparing the defenses, no sacks for the Detroit defense, and you guys had three, a couple of tackles for loss. Yeah, it looks like you guys sort of bullied them around a bit more on the defensive side of the ball.
I think it is a huge. I wasn't shocked because a divisional game is always going to be that kind of game. It can go either way, but the Lions, and we've been very bullish on them. They were 8-2 coming into it. I honestly thought they were going to come in and absolutely run us around the park.
Yeah, well, no, you've done well. And like, you missed a field goal and an extra point after touchdown as well. So you left a few points out there, kind of kept him in touch a little bit. But huge by Jordan Love, and that just sort of, there'd been a fair bit of noise around the Packers and, you know, what they're looking like moving forward from Aaron Rodgers and all those guys. And, mate, if they make the playoffs this year, phooey. Not many people would have predicted that at the start of the year. No, you didn't.
There's been all the comparisons. I'm obviously on a lot of Packers sites and Instagram posts and that kind of shit. But there's been a lot of comparisons, and it's pretty close, Aaron Rodgers to Jordan Love. I actually hate the comparison because they're two different. I know Jordan Love sat behind him, and it's going to happen, but I'm sick of the comparisons, but at the moment they were both 5-6 after 11 and had very, very similar numbers. So that is encouraging for Jordan Love, and it's going to be what he goes.
Oh, you got the next Aaron Rodgers
to say, you know what? Keep me on.
That's fine. You got the next Aaron Rodgers. You've called it now.
Sure. Okay. I will. The funny thing, just before we do move on, so I don't know how many of the Thanksgiving games you've watched, but at the end of the game, they always bring out a turkey. And the winning team has its way with the turkey. It's a John.
Holy shit.
Hey! Wow, here he is. This is great time to come in and talk about my package, buddy.
I've actually only got you cards for some reason. But sorry for being so late. The time difference got me.
No, welcome. Can you hear T-Mac? If T-Mac talks, can you hear him?
Can you hear me, Danny boy, or not?
Yep, I'm back. I'm fully on. It was just a little bit of a slow connection.
But we're beautiful. Good
now. Well, welcome aboard, mate. From where? You're not in our house anymore? Where are you?
No, I'm back in Viborg. So I've done a few trips since then. Went to Aarhus and then went to Copenhagen as well. So just a little bit of a non-stop trip at the moment, but it's nice to settle back down.
Mate, someone's got to do it.
Yeah. We're all jealous at you. You've come in at perfect time. We're reviewing last week's games, and it is my Packers that we're talking about, but we're actually finishing off on it. So just to finish off what I was saying, that Tanny, I know you've seen a few of the games. When they're Thanksgiving games, they bring out a turkey at the end and the winning team gets to enjoy the turkey. For those who watch the Packers-Detroit Lions, you will notice there was no turkey at the end. So apparently what has happened, which is a very Detroit thing to do, NBC or Fox, whoever it was, actually shaved a Detroit Lion into the turkey, thinking that they were going to beat us, so they couldn't bring it out. So no turkey at the end.
That's funny.
That's some poor form on NBC's behalf, because your Packers, surprisingly well.
I know. We have actually talked about it, so we'll move on, because everyone watching is probably sick of talking about it. But Danny boy, did you get to see the Browns and the Broncos to throw you straight under the bus straight away?
Yeah, I did see that game, and it was Russell Wilson. Like, a couple of those drives when he was going in, I think he got a couple of touchdowns on his feet. I don't know the stats. I did watch it whenever it was pretty much live when I was watching it. But yeah, he was playing way better than I was expecting him to, especially then coming up against the Browns. I think they've won now 5 straight. They're looking, for a team that I couldn't have had more doubts on, they're looking very strong.
Russell Wilson went 13 of 22 for 134 and one touchdown, mate. But he did have 34 and a touch. He ran in a touchdown as well on the floor. Yep. So we spoke about this one before, me and you, Cats, that it's just a game where Russell Wilson's controlling the game. Like, he hasn't had massive numbers, but as Danny just said, he's controlled the game and got them to where they needed to be. The Browns, they lost DTR pretty late in the game. It looks like he's gone down with a concussion and might struggle to get up this week, but he went 14 of 29 for 134 and a touchdown himself. But again, they had five fumbles and lost three of them. So just seems to be a common theme at the moment, Cards.
Five fumbles is big. That's big numbers. Like, you've got to protect the ball. And again, looking at the defense, the Broncos had four sacks as compared to the highly number two ranked Cleveland defense. They only had the one sack. And like we said, Garrett had that injury. He was a bit troubled with, came back out and played, but probably not to the same level as what he's normally playing at. But yeah, the Broncos are starting to get a bit of momentum here, turning into a little bit of a wag. And maybe I've got to stop tipping against them because they're starting to hurt me a little bit.
Well, if you've tipped against them 5 weeks in a row, then you've definitely lost a little bit.
Don't trust them yet, but obviously I'm going to have to start trusting them a little bit.
They're definitely moving up in the rankings, and sitting at 6-5, they are very much looking towards playoffs, which, again, like we said about the Packers, no one would have picked that at the start of the season.
No, absolutely not. Sorry, I was typing in the chat. Nah, we definitely didn't. I wouldn't say we kicked him or gave him no chance, but
But
it's easy to get caught up in all the hate that Russell was copping too, I suppose, as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Danny, I know you've been absolutely frothing to talk about this one. Our last game that we're going to talk about, the Bills and the Eagles. Eagles getting it done in overtime, 37-34. I'll run through some stats and let Danny talk about it. One sec. Josh Allen went 29 of 51, threw the ball a f***ing lot, 339. Two touchdowns, one interception. He also ran for 81 by himself and two touchdowns. So he had a hell of a game.
Yeah, he did.
Gabe Davis went six receptions for 105. Diggs, six receptions for 74. On the Bird side, 18 of 31 for 200 for Yalen. Three touchdowns, one interception, but he also went for 65 and two touchdowns, including the winning one in overtime. Devonta Smith, seven receptions, 106 yards and a touchdown. AJ Brown, five receptions, 37 yards and a touchdown. Danny boy, what are your thoughts, mate? You happy man?
Well, I am after I jumped on X and publicly called out Charlie and just said, well, if we're playing in the Cali Green, we're an absolute lock to win this. Then after watching the first half, Eagles did what they normally do and came out slow and stinky. Like, it was 7-17, I think, at halftime. It's the second time we've gone into halftime 2 weeks in a row to two of the better teams in the league going down. You don't want to give them a 10-point lead at halftime. But, yeah, come out and absolutely kick it back up into, like, the next level for the second half. It wasn't the easiest watch of a game as an Eagles fan. There was a couple of fumbles. Jalen, I think he threw an interception, I don't know if he said that, but he wasn't playing at his absolute elite level through the whole game. But yeah, when it came down to it, and for that final drive, there was a little bit of championship mentality there to actually get the job done at the end. That final pass to Zacchaeus was phenomenal.
Zacchaeus.
Josh Allen, like, even big play Slayer came out at the end of it being like, everyone's giving Josh Allen so much heat on the amount of interceptions he's throwing. But if anyone's throwing 51 plus passes and only throwing one interception, of course you're going to get one. He's like, he said it was one of the toughest games he had to play in the secondary to try and defend all the passes. He was like, he threw 51 passes and even when he wasn't throwing and he ran, he dropped back. So he had to defend it as if he was throwing anyway. He said it was one of the hardest games he's ever had to play against Josh.
And Jake Elliott finishing the fourth quarter to take it into overtime with a 59-yard field goal is absolutely huge.
Yeah, that was a booming kick.
What a pickup. What a pickup from the Bengals practice squad. It's got to be put down as one of the best pickups of all time, stealing some from Packers practice squad, because he loves the long ball.
It was like he just punched it too. But just on that, while we're talking about the kicking, the Bills missed two field goals, and I think it was a bit earlier in the game, so it would have put a bit more scoreboard pressure on your Birds. So kind of kept you in it a little bit there too, I felt like. Like they just left a little bit out there because it felt like, as you said, the Bills were dominating the first half especially. But just kind of, yeah, kind of left a little bit out there, even though it felt like they were in control. And, like, terrible conditions too. Pissing down with rain.
That's the thing with, like, the cameras. You can't tell. Like, when I first hopped on to start watching it, I was like, oh, it doesn't look that bad. Like, I thought it was going to be really bad. And then you see them on the sideline. They've all got their massive coats, hoods up, and they're, like, water's pouring off them.
Yeah.
But your boy's now 10-1 and leading into some of the hardest weeks of football. So they've gone against the Bills. Next week, you've got, as I'm scrolling 49ers. Down, I can't find it, 49ers. Just, oh, yeah, because the 49ers have got all the Birds in a row. Five Birds in 5 weeks, which is huge. And then you come in and you've got the Cowboys. And then I think there's one more. So it's the strength that you've got, the strength of schedule you have. Oh, then you've got the Seahawks, which could be a big game or could not be. But huge, you've had the hardest strength of schedule so far. And that's why I think when we were so harsh on you're only just getting over the line, but you're playing all the big teams and getting some big, big wins. So to be 10-1 at this point, Danny, you have to be happy, mate.
Yeah, and like I said, the way that they actually closed out the game against the Bills and the same way when they closed out against the Chiefs, like to get it done, they're definitely playing like they've got something to prove, which is everything you want at this point in the season.
Yeah, absolutely. You said you jumped on. It's a perfect little segue, which I haven't done yet. You said you jumped on. What did you actually watch the game on, mate?
DAZN, the only way to watch it. Game Pass, every single game.
Perfect. And that's what you jump onto our link tree. You'll find all of our links, our socials, but you also find the DAZN Game Pass. You'll find our merch, which, Cardi, you're rocking a brand new shirt.
I am, mate. I was waiting for you to notice. It's the Seahawks edition.
Is it? Lovely. Yeah. I did notice. Nice. I did notice that you grabbed a few extra ones. I didn't want to. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to throw you under the bus, but if you're happy to mention it, I do love it, and that's a great fit.
Absolutely.
And everyone should definitely hit up and have a look at our merch store because, like we mentioned last week, Danny, is it cold where you are? You could have grabbed a few extra jumpers before you headed over there.
I actually did. Unfortunately for myself, I caught up with some family and said, "Go on, actually pick up the merch." But there was a couple of jumpers sitting there. I still think there is. Sitting at the store waiting for you to pick them up.
Love it.
I believe some family did ask about that, so maybe they've picked it up. Getting on to our early preview. Cards, if you have the stats up there, that'd be great, as in the unders overs. Just a quick comment from you boys about this Friday's game, Seahawks at the Cowboys. Again, it could be a cheeky good game. Danny, what are your thoughts? Who's going to get the win just quickly?
What's the line? What's the lineup?
We're looking at 9-point favourites, the Cowboys at home.
Shit,
so they're expecting a bit of score in there. The over-under total points, 46, which we know if they're all out there. I'm not sure if did Geno play on the weekend? Actually, don't know. But
Did play.
Did Kenneth Walker back?
He's on the injury report.
Yeah.
Okay. Not on the injury report, so he must be back.
All right, good. Well, yeah, so there's high line, 46 over-under. So we know the Seahawks have got some potential for some high-octane offense there, and we've seen what the Cowboys have been doing. The team's absolutely blowing them out, so might smash the overs there.
Yeah, that 9 is such a huge line.
Yeah.
I don't know if you boys have seen it in the past. I think it's in the past 5 or 6 weeks, Dak's actually leading the league in so many quarterback ratings. He's like, he's first in QBR passing and like a whole bunch of other stuff in the past 5 games. Like obviously you take at the start of the season, but like since then he's playing absolute elite football. So it's going to be hard to get bet against Dak, especially at home at the moment.
80% of the money is on Cowboys to get the W, which is not surprising.
Not surprising. The line's big, but I probably would take him. I think.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, I'll take the Cowboys to cover and then go overs as well, I think.
Being at home, I think, is a big part of that as well.
Big advantage.
They do like to show out at home. So, Danny, who you got on the line, mate?
Yeah, give me Dallas and Yonwood Cart. Smash those overs.
Now, I'm going to smash the overs, but I'm going to say that the Seahawks will keep it to a touchdown. It might be 5 or 6 points, but it'll be within that 9. Well done, boys. Great to have you back, Danny, even if it was only for 5 minutes. But I do want to mention, I did see Big Dave mentioned in the comments. Can you believe that 10-1 from the Eagles, the one come to Zach Wilson, who is now being benched in his third? That is a ridiculous stat.
They didn't lose to Zach.
They lost to the whole They lost to the Jets defense. They didn't lose to Zach.
They lost to Zach Wilson, which was ridiculous. all right, boys. Great job. Hope we all enjoyed. Danny, we know you're enjoying your Thanksgiving, and I hope, Cards, you enjoyed yours. We know we had a big weekend. We will be back this week to speak about the upcoming. And like we said, it's getting right into playoffs time, so it's really exciting football. Football means something at the moment, as Cards reiterated. So we'll see you boys on the weekend.
Can't wait.
Let's go football.
Good to see you, Danny.
Oh, do you hang on? You had homework. Didn't you have to come back with words?
Yeah, so all of Scandinavia actually speak the same language. They just speak it slightly differently. It's crazy. So the Danes can understand the Norwegians. The Norwegians can understand the Swedish and the Danes, but the Swedes can only understand Norwegians and reckon Danes sound like they're speaking with a sock in their mouth. That's not me saying that. That's coming from a shout out Frida, who I actually say with when we're in Stockholm. That was coming from her. And I was like, that is unbelievable. You can't say that. But my favorite thing is that what they do is when they say hello, they go, hi. And when they say goodbye, they go, hi, hi.
Hi,
and then to say thank you so much is taksamike. So everyone, taksamike. Have a good weekend.
Hi, hi.
Okay.
Good work.